things, but it's just not the message for today, but it's the message is that the Lord has given me that we can go about standing upon a rock and that He has given us. And He has given each one of us that rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the four cornerstones of the rock was built upon Peter. But Peter, when Peter was built upon that rock, he went about showing people the rock. He went about telling people about that rock. And yes, sometimes Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't think really he done it in a way to where he was trying to bring attention to himself. I believe that he done it to where others may see where our minds had been. And they know then that our mind and our heart has been with the Lord, and our mind and our legs, like Sister Nancy sung, and our hands, our mouthpiece, our eyes, our ears, everything about us, that he used it for the Lord, and he didn't get out of using it. He just didn't. When somebody would ask him, he says, was that the Lord you was walking with? Was that the Lord that you was around then? And I think I don't think he used the word. I mean, I know he uses the word that he denied the Lord. And I know some preachers have used that, and I've used it, to where he denied the Lord. But I don't think the denial that we have come up with, I don't think it's the same denial that Peter was looking upon. And I don't think it was the same denial that his father's son was looking at either. But I think the denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think what it was, this is me. Now, I know that I'm going to have to give God an answer for it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'll stand before God for that. But I want to let you know on something. I believe the denial that Peter was saying to this individual, and this individual was his brother, Andrew. And it was the other individuals that he come in contact with. I think he done it to where they may see where Peter had been, but now Peter had come back to the level that they was in. And Peter's all intention was that they would listen. Not to him, but the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I also believe that that's like us. It's when we go out here, visiting or whatever, and I know that we don't have a visitation and everything set aside. I know that. But it still does not give us the reason not to go visit. And not to go calling somebody. We all have majority of us has a telephone at the house that we can call somebody locally, and it don't cost us an arm and leg. Yes, it costs us a little bit for the time for having the phone activated, But it's not all about that. But we also have other means where we could get in contact with other people. And that's a cell phone. Now, you know the computer, the internet come out. And when that come out, that come out long before the telephone did, the cell phone. And we had an avenue then. But when it come out, the preachers, the evangelists, and the missionaries all come to the point that they was thinking about the internet being evil. Did you realize that the internet is no more evil than the individual that puts the fingers to the keyboard and type what's in there? That's where the evil comes from. It comes within us. If evil is showing on the computer. And don't get me wrong, I know sometimes you can click on a website, especially a personal website for somebody, a preacher's website, evangelist, or missionary's website. And sometimes they'll have other people that's hacked into them and they'll put some stuff on there that we know that that individual did not put in. There was an individual, I always looked at his website when I was trying to build one, and I would always read his emails and everything, because he had some good thoughts. And he studied the Word of God. But that was one day that I pulled up his site. And I was going to read some of the stuff that he had posted that week. Because he would always post something that would be an encouragement. Not just to the pastors, but to individuals alone. And when I was reading, and I read it, and then I would click on something else to go to to finish the story of what he was saying, or a passage or whatever. And I clicked on it. And what I clicked on, it come up evil. Now, this was a pastor. This was a man of God that used one Bible only, the King James Version. And I called him 2 or 3 times. And I told him, I said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll keep on putting the thoughts that you're putting on your website, because they're helping me. If they're not helping me in preaching, they're helping me in my day-to-day walk with the Lord. And he'd always come back and send you a reply back, and he says, thank you, brother. I'm praying for you also. But that was one day I clicked on a link he had down. And the title of that link was, What Are You Doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? And I clicked on that, and I went to that page. And when I went to that page, some of the things that popped up, will make a soldier or whatever you're going, I don't know why we even put it off on them, but we do sometimes, but I ain't going to even put it off on them, that nobody, it would embarrass the devil himself, I believe. It would embarrass the devil. That afternoon, after I got off of that, about 6 o'clock, because I knew that by the time he'd get home, and I called him at home. And I said, brother, I said, I don't know if anybody else has seen it or not. I said, but I want you to go to your website and I want you to pull up the postages you put on there this week. I know you didn't put them on there. I know what you put on there was godly material, but somebody has hacked in and replaced your thoughts with some ungodly material. And he said, well, brother, can you tell me what it was about? I said, well, it's about the Lord. It's about God. And he said, well, that's what I meant and everything about the Lord and what we must do for the Lord and what we must do for God, for him to bless us. I said, yeah, but don't tell the individual that. What you need to do, you need to go back into your database and you need to click on that title. And when you click on that title, then you can click on to the number where that title is under the database. And it was about 17 or 18, I think it was. And he clicked on it. And I was still on the phone because he asked me, he said, would you mind holding on the phone? I said, no, I don't mind. Because I'd like for you to know, because you need to get it off. He went to that website. And he apologized to me on the phone. He said, I did not do that. I did not put that on there. I said, Brother Tex, I know you didn't. But I thought you needed to know. Because you don't need nobody else to see it. Because if somebody else sees it, they may not even call you. They may go out here and just spread what they've seen. And he said, don't worry, I just deleted the whole thing right now. While I was still on the phone, he deleted it. And after I got on the phone, I went back to his website and I clicked on it again. And what come up was nothing. What's the number? 404. 404, great big letters. 404. Means the site's not there, basically. And what they've clicked on is just not in the system no more. Not on their website no more. And I called him back that afternoon. He lived in Texas, and I called him in Texas that afternoon. And I said, Brother, I know you did not do it. I know you did not do it. But thank you for taking it off, because I don't want nobody else to see it. And I said, there ain't no telling how many people's already seen it. And it ain't no telling how many people that the individual that put it on there has spread that all across the world. That Tex Woody had put that on his website. He said, I thank you. I thank you for giving me a call. And he said, you know, we need to do more of that. When we see something wrong, or something that's spelt wrong, or something that where even if we put it down, that we need to call somebody and let them know that what they put down, you kind of missed a letter, Or you put another letter in it that wasn't supposed to be there. But that's what I was talking about then, was that it won't no way in the world for Brother Tex Woody in Texas. He could not bring other people to Jesus. He could not go out and tell other people about Jesus, because what was on his website, and he pulled it off, and he pulled it down, and he says, thank you. I don't tell how many times he thanked me. And I says, don't thank me. You thank the Lord. I said, because it's the Lord's doing. And I says, we just need to pray for the individuals. I don't know who they are. And brother, you probably don't know who they are, to put it on him. But brother, I know somebody that does. Knows exactly who they are. Knows exactly the time frame that they put it on there. Knows the exact day, the exact date, the exact year. And knows how many characters of letters was in that website page. And all I'm asking the Lord to allow the Holy Spirit to get upon that individual and make them so miserable that they cannot help it any longer. They have got to bow. And they've got to come in. And they got to ask the Lord Jesus to save their soul. Now, I believe that with all my heart. I believe that that's what the individual needs to do. But today, in saying that, in trying to bring other people to Jesus, and this scripture that here in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 19 through 37, is speaking about two individuals, and is speaking about one particular individual trying to bring somebody else to Jesus. And while this right here is so important to Peter and to John and to all the others that knew the Lord as thy Savior, they knew the other individual that was on their heart, that they was going to do everything they could to bring him to Jesus. Because they knew him personally. They knew him in a way that most people didn't know him, because he had a brother and he had family that knew the Lord personally. And that was when Peter witnessed unto his brother Andrew. And I believe that Peter himself, when he lay down in the afternoon and at night, and before he went to sleep, and when he did go to sleep, when he closed his eyes, I believe it was still tears running from his eyes. Because he didn't mind shedding a little tear for his family. I want to ask you something. When's the last time that we shed a tear for our family? How many times has it been? I ask the Lord every day, do not give me the dry tear ducts. Open my tear ducts up. Make them larger. Well, I cannot hold it back because I got a brother that's lost, is dying. Yes, he's dying. He's going to hell. But he's going to live in eternity in hell. He's going to live as long as me and you that profess Jesus as our Savior. How long are we going to spend with Jesus? We're going to spend with him for eternity. How long is eternity that people will ask? You'll have to come back and say the other word. Eternity is forever. It's forever. And then they will come back and say, well, what's the meaning of forever? You've got both of the meanings there. The meaning for forever is for eternity. And for eternity means forever. And forever means eternity. That's where they're going to spend. That's what they're going to do in hell. They're going to spend eternity. There's not going to be no second chance. There's not going to be no first chance. The third, fourth, or fifth, or what? Because they've never have had the Holy Spirit to pierce their heart. Yes, the Holy Spirit's probably dealt with them, but then they just said, well, I can wait a while. I can wait till tomorrow. How many of you do you really realize that if an individual is waiting for tomorrow, for them to do something and to do something for the Lord, how many of you do you realize that you'll never do it? You'll never do it if you say you're going to do it tomorrow. Because see, in God's vocabulary, there is no tomorrow. There is only the present. And what we're living in right now, there's not even though this afternoon, it's the present that we're in. The soul winner. That's what this is all about, soul winning. This is what it's all about. That's what coming to church is all about. Is learning a little more about Jesus and to learning that we must keep ourselves pure. We must keep ourselves in line with God. The soul winning task here in 41, verse 41. What is the task of a soul winner? What is that task for a soul winner? The first thing for the task for Peter was his brother Andrew. Andrew did and was to find his brother. He would go wherever he had to go to find his brother. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had put his brother on his heart. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with Peter about going and finding Andrew, Peter did not know where Andrew was. He didn't know where he was at. Because Peter, right before that, had been walking with the Lord. But Peter did not know where he was at. And what Peter had to do then was what? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to give me a name of a place where my brother is at. My natural brother is at. And say, Father, he don't know you. Yes, he's heard about you, but he don't know you like I know you. And yes, and he's lost, and I don't want to see my brother Andrew go to hell. Matter of fact, I don't want to see no one go to hell. But then after that, after Peter found Andrew, it was so important that Peter would give Andrew the words that come from the Word of God. And where the Word of God that Peter was preaching back then, and the same words that he was sharing with Andrew then, was that the Word that come from God the Father and put it upon 50 or so men to pin them words down as the Holy Spirit led them to put them to paper. Notice the word first. There's no doubt that he won many others to the Lord after he himself became a Christian. But first he thought of and successfully won his own brother. That, I think that is the main problem today with the local churches. We are not willing to go out here and to seek our brothers, to seek our sisters, to seek our sons and our daughters, and our grandson and granddaughters. We're not willing to go out and seek them and ask the Lord to give them the very words that they need to say that comes from their heart to say to the family member. Because see, after Peter's salvation, see, his family was on his heart. Now, who's on your heart right now? Who's on my heart right now? It should not be somebody across the highway first. It should not be somebody across town first. If we love our family, if we love our brothers and sisters and our cousins and uncles and aunts and all of them, and love our children, the sons and the daughters, the grandchild, if we love all of them, then first of all, we should and we will go to them if we love them. If we love them like we say that we honestly love them, that we can go to them and say, Johnny, I love you. You know I'd do anything in the world for you. But I got things that I need to tell you. I got something I need to tell you. And I want to introduce you to one today that can tell you everything and bring all the important things to your life. that you can end up being the happiest individual that there is. And you can have a smile. And you won't have the frown no more. Because if we keep the frown long enough, then our face will kind of wrinkle away. It'll kind of drain us. But if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if you accept Him, I promise you that you will not wrinkle away. You will not allow your wrinkle in your face to crack to where people can say, man, he looks so old. That's the reason when I go up to people and I see people and I see them for the first time, or if I've seen them, the first time I've seen them in 30 or 40 years since I've been to school or something like that, I say, man, you sure looking good. You're looking good today. They say, who are you talking to? You talking to me? Yeah. You're looking good today. I ain't seen nobody yet. I really haven't. That I can honestly say to you this morning, that individual, and who it may be, that these eyes will be focused on sometime this week, I cannot come up to you and tell you, as far as that individual, is the ugliest individual that I've ever seen. You may tell you something else. I can't even claim that Satan, Lucifer, the devil, I can't even say that he is that ugly. Why? Anything God creates, God has beauty on his mind and on his heart. So when I look to you, I look at you as a beauty, a piece of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll grant you one thing. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. It speaks about the mother in the Bible. And it's not only speaking about the mother that's in the Bible, and the husband that's in the Bible. But that in that verse there in, I think it's chapter 31 in the book of Proverbs, he's looking at you. He's looking at me. And he tells you, because I know you're a mother of two wonderful children. I know you're the mother of one beautiful child. I know you're a mother of 10 brothers and sisters. I know that you know my heart. And I don't condemn you for that. They are beautiful individuals. They are beautiful individuals. The Lord has never made anything that was ugly. You know where the word ugly come from? You know where it come from? It come from mankind. That's where we get all the words that we have today. Where did the word salvation come from? Did it come from me? Nope. Come from you? Nope. Did it come from anybody else? Nope. It all came from the Lord. The words right here in this Bible, every word is pinned down. every word now. The Holy Spirit gave it unto Peter, and he gave it unto John, and he gave it unto Andrew, and he gave it to all other disciples. He gave it to everyone. And he will still give it today to the one that wants to get saved. He still wants to give it out. But do we want to give it out? Is the question. As much as God wants us to give it out, do we want to give it out that much? We should. If we don't, shame on us. But getting back to the telephone, the cell phone. Now, we thought the computers, when they had come up with the internet system, we thought that we could get on there and we could search out and we could be over there in Israel. We could be over in Europe or Russia or somewhere else. We could go there and we could click it on and we'd be there. When the internet first come out, you could click on it as many times you wanted to. But it won't come up until you hit that point in your internet. Because back then, today you even say it to the kids out here, they say, "What was that? Was that a telephone?" I said, "Yeah, it was a telephone. Basically, it was a telephone. It was a telephone with another piece of wire hooked to it, and it was called the internet. It was called, really basically, it was calling that you dial into the internet. And you dial the individual that you want to speak to and want to talk to and want to listen to and see what they was doing over in Russia. But now, years later, God allowed us to get on an instrument now that where if our mother or if our father has took a trip and they over there in Israel or they in Russia or they in Jerusalem or where they may be at, or they may be in New York City or Washington, D.C. But now they got a gadget out now. And all you have to do is you just punch a bunch of numbers in. It's the number of the individual that's overseas. Punch the number in. We don't wait no, have to wait no 30, 40, 50, or 60 seconds. As soon as we die, they are getting the call. As soon as we die, and as soon as we say call and push the button, it calls. And they are receiving the call from the United States of America in Russia. They're receiving the call. But yet, we won't even pick up the phone and call our family next door and tell them and invite them. We don't need to invite them to church. We need to invite them to the Lord first of all. We need to win them outside. And if we win them outside, then we need to go to work then to try to do everything we can to get them in church. And I would prefer, and you would prefer, that they would come here. Because that's what we're working for. We're working for building up the kingdom of God. And that's where Faith Baptist Church comes in at. is the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. We need to focus on that. Our family needs to see where we care. We care. We don't criticize. We care. When you criticize, you're not caring. And I've done as probably much or more than anybody else in here. If I put all y'all's criticism together, mine would probably outweigh each and every one of y'all's. Yes, I have criticized in the past, but every time, and I don't know why it is, but every time that I get in God's Word and I read and I study, then what I'm reading and what I'm studying, the Lord wants me to bring that forward and to know that you're at fault too. Not just your people, but you're at fault. And as long as you're at fault, you can't blame the people for not following. Because you're not giving them anything to follow for. But Peter, then after that, Peter, in the book of Acts, come up, chapter 2, Peter led his brother to the Lord. And after he led his brother to the Lord, then the Father asked Peter, said, Peter, I know that you're the rock. You're the rock that we must lean on. And the reason God said we must lean on him, on Peter, because he was the rock, is because the Lord knew that what Peter was going to preach. And the Lord knew what he was going to preach on the day of Pentecost. He preached to so many people that even the people, someone was even called there to preach in their own language to the people of their that was in the services, that only they knew what they was preaching, because they had another preacher up there preaching. That's the reason that I say I will support anybody. I will support any missionary that will preach from God's Word and hold to that. But if they get away from it and they say, well, you know, the Lord didn't give me this. Something come to me and I just thought of it. You didn't think of nothing. I didn't think of nothing. The Lord gave it to me. And we got to look at it that way. The Lord gives us everything that we say as Christians. As Christians, that's the way you want to live your life, right? That's the way that we want to live our life. It's the way the Father in heaven wants us to live. Because if we don't live like unto the Father, as being Christians, then I don't think the Father gives us the right to call him Father. because he only will listen to the ones that personally know him in a personal and an intimate way. And I'll tell you how personal the Lord is to me. He's so personal to me that I know that I can go to him and I can call him my Heavenly Father. And I can also go to him and I can call him my Heavenly Papa. And I can also go to him and tell him that you are my Heavenly Dad. All of that is in God's Word, right there under the Father. And when we meet the Father, we meet him, and not just him alone. We meet his Son, Jesus Christ, and we meet him, the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for the words that you've given me this morning. And I pray, Father, if I have misinterpreted anything or spoken wrong about some things, I pray, Father, right now, that you'll correct all of that within the people that was here under the hearing of your word this morning. That, Father, that they will not even focus on anything of that, that they would focus on serving you and only you. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we go out this week, as we go out, we meet people, we come in contact with other people that we have never met before. Father, help us, oh Lord Jesus, that we cannot go without speaking to them. That, Father, that you allow us to speak to them. Just give them a hello. Just give them something that they can hang on to. Because, Father, we don't know how many people are here today that is really and truly hurting. They are hurting to the point that some may be thinking about suicide. Some had maybe thinking about leaving the wife. Some may have thought about leaving the husband. And some of the children that's involved, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you allow the Holy Spirit in a way to touch their heart and to bring them to you. Not to the church, but to you. Where it says in your word that we must be drawn. The Holy Ghost of God must draw us unto Jesus, where we can confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And then the Savior would say, you're forgiven. Now go and do what I asked you to do. Oh, Father, we thank you. Father, help us this week that none of us will come back at the next service and say that we didn't have an opportunity to go. And Father, yes, that we had an opportunity to go, and we know who that you laid on our heart. But Father, that even you laying them on our heart, Father, we'd end up having a cold or end up having a flu that would keep us from visiting them. Father, the cold and the flu will not keep us from dialing their phone number and getting in touch with them and just talking to them and let them know how much you care for them. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this church, Father, that where you've placed me in. I thank you, Father, for these people. Lord, I know these people, they pray for me. I thank you for that. I thank you most of all for the Holy Ghost that brought conviction to my heart. I'm so thankful when he brought conviction that he did not stop there. That he introduced me to the only one that really cared for me. And that was your son, Father, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we love you. Until the next appointed time, Father, we ask that you may come in and touch our hearts in a special way. Father, bring people in. Father, the only thing that we can do is just go and invite them and just go and tell them. Father, there are a number of people right now that I know of that they have completely got out of church and they not going to church nowhere. And the reason they got out of church is because of what the preacher was preaching. They weren't preaching the gospel. He was preaching about opinions that he had about this and that. My opinions is not worth the paper that I may write the word on. But Father, help us that we may share something with somebody this week and the Holy Ghost would dwell upon their heart all week. And Lord, until we come back to service here, we thank you. And Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we're starting out the new year. And I know things that I started and I quit doing them or whatever. But if anybody wants to come to the altar, and if you got something on your heart, you come and you pray for it. Because the Lord will help you.